From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Now that Congress has completed its second week of the new legislative year, I thought it would be appropriate to review what has happened thus far and evaluate the current state of affairs, as those affairs may impact postal employees. For me, on January 3rd, the first day of the new Congress, my Apple iPhone registered over 20,000 steps. That's a little over 10 miles of walking. I attended more than a dozen swearing-in events and visited about 30 congressional offices. I was able to renew acquaintances with some old friends and hopefully make some new ones. I can assure our executive administrative schedule postal employees listeners that the NAPS flag was firmly planted in House and Senate offices, and NAPS's visibility was heightened. It was a particular privilege to attend the swearing-in reception of the new chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, Congressman James Comer of Kentucky, as well as the reception for freshman United States Senator John Fetterman of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. At the same time, and nevertheless, those who were glued to C-SPAN or read about the Capitol Hill activities of that first day would have to concede that the day was a bit chaotic and indeed embarrassing on the south side of the Capitol, which is the wing of the Capitol on which the House of Representatives meets. More about that in a minute. On the other hand, on the north side of the Capitol, that is where the Senate meets, the Senate proceeded with their day one business without a hitch. The Senate convened, new and reelected senators were sworn in by Vice President Kamala Harris, Majority Leader Charles Schumer of New York and Republican Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky made their remarks. Other senators made statements about their legislative priorities or concerns, and then the body recessed until January 23rd. The House of Representatives, however, did not proceed in an orderly fashion. In fact, the House was not in order. As has been recounted time and time again in the press, this was the first time in a century that the House of Representatives failed to elect a Speaker of the House on the first ballot. In fact, it took 15 rounds of voting. On the fifth day of that voting, the House finally elected Kevin McCarthy of California Speaker of the House. In the order of presidential succession, as stipulated in the United States Constitution, the Speaker is right behind the Vice President in the order of succession. What is noteworthy about the 4 to 5 days of bedlam on the House floor is the lasting repercussions the discord will have for the legislative process during the 118th Congress, the uncertainty with which the Republican majority will be able to govern itself and the entire House, and the implications and repercussions that the beginning of Congress may have for the postal workforce and the postal service itself. The bottom line is, notwithstanding the intestine GOP warfare, Americans should not have expected smooth scaling on Capitol Hill anyway. After all, we have a divided Congress, where the Senate has a narrow Democratic majority and the House has a narrow Republican majority. However, a divided Congress is exacerbated by the very nature of those two majorities. While the Senate is controlled by a fairly durable two-seat Democratic majority, which includes three senators who label themselves as independents, they are Senators Bernie Sanders of Vermont, Angus King of Maine, and the newly independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. The House, however, is now controlled by an unstable and volatile 10-seat majority, which will likely shrink to a 9-seat majority after a February 24th special election in Virginia. about 24 Republican members occupy a very exotic wing of the party and are members of the conservative so-called House Freedom Caucus. 20 members of this House Freedom Caucus voted against McCarthy for numerous rounds of voting during the first days of the 118th Congress. Eventually, during the wee hours of January 7th, Speaker McCarthy and the House Republican Conference paid a still-yet-to-be-accounted-for ransom that was extracted by the last Speaker holdouts, that is, the last members of the Republican Party who decided to give the Speaker, that is, Speaker McCarthy, the requisite number of votes to become Speaker. It is unclear what concessions were made by the Speaker and accepted by the House Republican Conference. It has been widely reported that the agreement significantly weakens the authority of the Speaker, most notably enabling a solitary member of the House, a single member of the House, to vote to vacate or to move to vacate the position of the Speaker. That is, the Speaker's existence as Speaker would be called and could be called into question by a single member of the House of Representatives. This key concession, in effect, would sway like a sword of Damocles over the head of the Speaker, that the person holding the highest ranking position in the House of Representatives, and as I said previously, the second in line to the President. The Speaker is in fact captive to the whims of a narrow portion of the House Republican Conference. In addition, the agreement would salt key House committees, such as the Rules Committee and Appropriations Committee, with members of the House Freedom Caucus. For our part, that is, the postal and federal community, we need to pay close attention to employee benefits and postal assets. We need to ensure that the benefits and assets will not be used as collateral in a yet-to-be-joined budget battle, which will start very shortly. We should be concerned about this impending and potentially inevitable budget battle. As part of the agreement between the Speaker and certain members of the House Freedom Caucus, the House Republican leadership has agreed not to consider an essential vote on raising the United States Treasury's national debt ceiling, that is, assuring the credit worthiness of the American government as a standalone bill. The House Freedom Caucus, or members of the House Freedom Caucus, rejected the idea that the credit worthiness of the United States government could be on a single vote, on a separate bill. Rather, the agreement appears to link a vote on the debt ceiling with maintaining a functioning government and draconian cuts to governmental benefit programs. We've heard this story before, and we've battled against this toxic narrative. In effect, the agreement threatens governmental spending and its obligations unless postal and federal employees are cut. A recent wrinkle in the House Republican plan in preparation for the failure to raise the national debt, and that agreement has been reported. A recent wrinkle has emerged in the House Republican plan to prepare for the failure to raise the national debt. It has been reported in numerous press accounts that the plan was negotiated behind closed doors to resolve the impasse between McCarthy and his detractors. The plan calls for the House to pass a payment prioritization plan by March 31st in anticipation of a government default later this year. It is reported that this default could occur as early as June. Such a plan would be unprecedented and could deny federal and retirees their earned pensions, Social Security beneficiaries their earned benefits, FEHB participants the government portion of their contributions, and Medicare retirees their health coverage. Of course, House Republicans, under immense political pressure, could decide to protect Social Security and Medicare. However, that pressure would not necessarily expand to protecting federal retirement and FEHBP benefits. This key battle, That is, the battle for federal retirement and FEHB benefits will be one of those battles confronting NAPS as its legislative activists come to Washington this spring as part of our annual legislative training seminar, which includes a full day of lobbying on Capitol Hill. In sum, the full faith and credit of the United States government could very well be jeopardized by the brinkmanship of a very few members of Congress who held the Speaker hostage. And in addition, the same hostage-taking scenario could jeopardize federal employee health benefits and federal employee retirement benefits. That's my last word for this week. I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make